my name's Jeremy. I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is May 22nd of this year. I have a home group. This is it. I have a sponsor, and I have the privilege of sponsoring another alcoholic. I'm extremely uncomfortable doing this. I hate speaking in public. I remember when I first came to this home group, it's kind of funny, like, I was very new, like, over just about a year ago. My first friend, other than my sponsor, was Jay Toms, the guy with the awesome mustache back there making coffee. And he did this one night, and he was real early into sobriety, and he was like, man, he was like a mess, dude. He was just coming off of, like, all kinds of chemicals and just, like, was miserable, more miserable than I think I am right now. And when the meeting was over, I was like, hey, man, that was really cool of you to, like, volunteer to do that. And he just looked at me. He's like, I didn't volunteer, dude. They came and told me I had to. And I was like, oh, shit. I was like, I got to switch home groups, man. So anyways, yeah, so, yeah, like, right now, man, my legs are shaking. My voice is trembling. My hands are my head's spinning real fast. My stomach has butterflies, and, like, I just have a lot of anxiety. And the reason that I mention that is because right now it's like a super intensified version of the way that I kind of pretty much always feel and can have always felt as long as I can remember. You know, even before I started drinking, I was just always a very, very nervous, introverted, shy kind of little kid. And so I always felt out of place, uncomfortable for, you know, for as long as I can remember. And I was born in Birmingham, Alabama, moved to at a young age over to Melbourne, Florida, and grew up there by the beach, cool little beach town. I have a normal family. Well, they're not normal. I mean, but for the most extent, they are. You know, I can't blame them. Like, they didn't beat me or anything. I had some bad things happened to me as a child. I was molested at a young age. I also saw some alcoholism in my family. I grew up around it. My father wasn't around for much of my my childhood. And I say those things, I don't think any of those things made me an alcoholic. But they did give me some trust issues with people, especially guys. So I don't know. I just kind of, you know, I wasn't like the sports guy or anything, and I was very shy. So, like, I kind of, like, just kicked it in school, and, you know, drew. I was in art and everything like that, and I wasn't really very good. I wasn't going to be like the football player or like the class president or any of that kind of stuff. You know, I knew that just wasn't in the cards for me because of my personality and just a lot of my fear and insecurities. So I kind of started, I just wanted, like, I guess I wanted to rebel against, like, what I thought, like, the ideal normal life would be, like, you know, the baseball player, you know, cheerleader girlfriend, you know, student body president, lives in a nice house with two kids and a car. I was like, I don't want any of that. I want the opposite of that. So I started gravitating towards this ideal in my mind that I created very young, that I wanted to be like this very rebellious rock star type person. You know, I got into music very early. Music, if any of you know me, is extremely important to me. So, like, I got into punk rock music. I got into, like, gangster rap and yeah, I used to wear those clothes, and I drove a lowrider. It was pretty sick. I wanted to do things that I thought would, like, I guess I thought it would make me cool. So, like, I wanted to steal. I wanted to skip class. I wanted to, like, when I got the opportunity, I wanted to smoke cigarettes. When I was able to drink alcohol, I wanted to drink alcohol. It wasn't like somebody was like, here, man, try this. I was like, yeah, let's drink alcohol. That's bad. That's good. I'll be like this big badass rebel, you know, which I'm not a badass at all. You know, I, like, have all these tattoos and stuff, but I'm just, like, just a big baby, really. So my first drink, my first experience with alcohol, this wasn't my first experience with alcohol. I'd had it before. I'd experimented with certain things just to try to be cool. The first time I really got it was I was at a party, and I was drinking with some of my buddies, and I remember I had this friend. His name is Eric Morse, and he was huge. He was the offensive lineman for my, I guess it was a junior high football team at the time. The guy was like this big. He was like, believe it or not, I was short, and I was really skinny. So this guy was like five times the size of me. And we were drinking whatever, like, the rappers were drinking, like Oldie or MD 2020 or some shit like that. I believe we stole, I think it was MD 2020 because we stole it because it fit, like, right in your pants when you wear big gangster baggy jeans. And I started drinking it, and I just remember, like, at parties I was always really nervous, man. I always thought, like, I was afraid to talk to girls, and I thought some dude was going to beat me up. So that's why I liked hanging around with Eric, because he was huge. So, like, I could, like, kind of run my mouth and be funny, and if anybody messed with me, you know, I'd just be like, yo, I'm with this guy. So we started drinking, and, man, it hit me. That feeling, like, of uncomfortableness, of unease, of discomfort, just kind of like I feel right now. It just kind of just went, like, I exhaled, and it was all gone, and I just felt totally fine where I was at that time, at that moment. I felt great. I felt happy. I felt like I belonged. I felt comfortable. And I had a great night, man. I was like, whoa, this is awesome, man. And I was out talking to girls. I was meeting, like, talking to other dudes, making people laugh, like, running around the party, having a great time. My buddy Eric threw up. And I was making fun of him because I was like, I can outdrink you, bro. You suck. And he's like, when I'm able to get up and, you know, not be thrown up, I'm going to kick your ass. And you know, nothing bad happened to me. No consequences. I went home. I drove home. Wasn't like, well, I guess I was driving drunk, but I mean, I wasn't driving all swerving. Got home, woke up the next day, no hangover, felt great. And I was like, that's it, man. That's what I got to do. This is what I want to feel. So I did that. Every chance I could, I drank, and I became a big weekend drinker. And then I went through school, and honestly, it helped me out a lot. I met a lot of people. I got a girlfriend. You know, I started becoming more social because I was drinking in social situations. And then I got to college. How much time do I have? Okay, cool. I'll go fast. I drank for a long time, so I'm going to skip a bunch of stuff. I got to college, and when I got there, I was like, okay, cool, I can do whatever I want. I'm now Jeremy the party guy, rock star, is here, and that's exactly what I created out of myself. I live in a house with five other guys. We were all the same way. We all drank the same way, and we had parties every night, and it was awesome. It was so much fun, man. I had a blast. I didn't drink and become like an angry person. I didn't drink and become belligerent. Like, I drank and I had fun, and people liked to be around me, and so I loved to drink. It was what I did for fun. It's all I knew, and I continued to do that through college. Towards the end of my college career, things started getting a little shady. People started getting arrested. People started dying. We'd kind of, as the years gone by, gotten into some deeper and deeper criminal stuff. So I got out of there, came to Tampa. And I got in the restaurant business. And the restaurant business is perfect for alcoholics because you can drink at work. You can drink after work. You can come in hungover. And the managers don't care because they were with you. And as long as you do your job, they don't care. And so it was perfect, man. I'd come in work and I'd be hungover. And I'd look at the bartender and be like, I needed one of them special coffees. And she'd send me down like a coffee with like shot or whatever in it, take it and go. And man, I just ran with that for years. And I mean, I was a very heavy drinker, but I don't really know when the progression from heavy drinker to alcoholic happened. It was, you know, it took a long time, man. I drank for probably 20 years. And all I know is that like once the It was probably a slow process over 5 years, but to me it felt like a week. I all of a sudden just couldn't control my alcohol anymore. Like when I would go out, instead of being that fun guy that people wanted to hang around with, you know, the guy was making people laugh and you know, meeting girls and taking girls home and all that stuff. I wasn't that guy anymore. I was like, I would black out and I would become belligerent. I would I would like pass out at the bar. People had to take me home. Like my friends would have to like pick me up off the bench of the press box, throw me in the car, thank you, and drive me home. I'd wake up and like I'd be at parties. I'd wake up in people's front lawns. I went to one party one time and woke up in the front lawn of the party and realized that it wasn't the same house. It was across town in Carrollwood. And I had driven up there somehow, and my car wasn't with me. It took me a really long time to piece that whole story together. I won't get into it because it's kind of long, but it was, it was bad. And my car, actually, I had parked it in a retention pond because I thought it was a driveway. You'd think that, like, that'd be like, dude, I got to stop drinking. But, like, I called my buddy. He came pick me up, and he's like, where's your car? And I'm like, I don't know. And I was like, I think I remember being at O'Brien's. He's like, where's O'Brien's? He's like, I don't know. I don't go there. But I think I remember being there. And we found my car and all that. So it just got really, really bad. Like, and I wanted to get back to that place where I could drink and be that same person that I had been for like 15 years, to where I could drink and have fun and remember everything and have a good time. And I just couldn't do it. And I tried all the ways in the big book of moderating, changing my drinking, all that stuff. None of it worked, and it just got worse and worse and worse. The blackouts became worse. I started isolating and drinking alone. I started drinking to cure hangovers. Then I started drinking to cure shakes. Then I started drinking because I had to have alcohol all the time. I was drinking at work. I was drinking in the middle of the night. I was driving around in a car, drinking straight vodka, shitty vodka, with no chaser, just on the way to work, man. It's just because my hands were shaking so bad. And I finally came to a point of just misery where I knew that I had to get help. I ended up in the hospital. I drank myself in the hospital, and I could have very seriously died. I got out of the hospital, and I went and saw a therapist. And the funny thing is, well, it was not funny, but I got out of the hospital, and I wasn't physically addicted to alcohol anymore because I was in the hospital for 14 days. So I got out, and I'm like, man, I'm not an alcoholic anymore. Cool. I'm detoxed off alcohol. So I thought that was all it was. And then I learned what the mental obsession part of alcohol was. And I'm like, why can't I not drink? I'm not addicted to it physically. Why do I have to drink? And the doctors told me, if you keep drinking, you're going to end up back in the hospital. And I kept drinking. So finally, my therapist, who I found out later is in the program, he kept telling me to go to AA. Finally, and I didn't want to. I was like, no, man, I'm paying you. You fix me. I don't want to go to AA, dude. It's God and all that. Forget that, man. But I finally went because I like this guy. And this was my first meeting. And I had a friend in the program that I called. She asked me to meet her here. And if she hadn't, like, I walked in the door and I saw y'all. And I was like, fuck this. And I got ready to turn around and leave. And she saw me and she was like, hey. And I was like, damn it. So she came. I came over and sat down, and I sat here. I listened to the meeting. I have no idea what anybody said. I went outside, and a bunch of people came, introduced themselves to me, like Andrew, Terry, Todd, Blair. I don't even remember who, but a lot of people. I just remembered seeing the look in people's eyes out there talking, like when they were all having conversations, and I was standing there just like this, just all nervous and shit. And I just realized, man, these people are like sober, and they look like normal people, man. Like, how are they doing this? And it was just mind baffling to me. And so I kept coming back, and I wasn't very successful with this at first. If you guys have been around this meeting, if you don't know me, you probably recognize me because I used to come up here and get white chips like every week. And what I was failing at was I really, really didn't take the steps correctly. I really never even took step one. I didn't understand what true powerlessness was. I thought that I could come to AA, do the meetings, do the steps, and then I would quit drinking. Like I would quit drinking myself. I would do it because I thought that I could do it. I didn't understand that it had to be a power greater than myself. It had to be something outside of me because I couldn't do it. And then I finally hit a bottom. Ended up in the hospital again, and it was to the point where I just wanted to like kill myself. So I went through the steps, and I went through them real. I really took the steps this time, and really was very, very willing and listened to everything that my sponsor and pretty much anybody told me to do that had sobriety. I was like, I didn't care. I was like, yeah, okay, I'll do it, whatever. And I started doing all the things that my sponsor told me to do before that I didn't think made any sense. You know, I was like, why does driving people to meetings keep me sober? Fuck that. So I started doing it. I started doing it a lot, man. I got into the fellowship, and I met some great friends that way, driving them to Red Door and driving them to work. And I started, I started praying. I didn't have any kind of religion in my life before. I started praying, became spiritual, and started learning, understanding how the spiritual process of AA and the spiritual changes, what it's really all about, even though people have been telling me the whole time, I just wasn't hearing it. And I don't know, today my life is very, very good. I don't obsess about drinking all the time. I feel, I don't know if I would say, like, I'm not, like, ecstatic and, like, oh, I'm so happy, this is awesome, but I just feel okay, you know? Like, I don't feel, like, miserable. I don't worry about so much the past. I don't worry about the future. I don't have a lot of regrets over things that I've done because I've, you know, done amends and things like that. And I'm just kind of okay with, like, today, every day. And I really, really take it one day at a time. I try to focus on that. And, you know, I don't know, like, today I'm good, and I'm not drunk, and, you know, my life is cool today for this day. And then tomorrow I'm going to try to do it again, and that's all that I really know how to do. I guess my time's about up. Oh, it is? Okay. Well, thank you.